You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Tonight, the surge in new COVID cases across at least 46 states. The CDC director warning today, we are not out of the woods yet. And President Biden, late today, we ask him whether the mask guidance will change in this country for millions of Americans, for school children as well. What the president just said. The country averaging more than 37,000 new cases a day. The CDC director, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, calling this a, quote, pivotal moment. Tonight, Los Angeles reporting 20 times the number of new cases from just a month ago. The headlines in Philadelphia and in Houston on masks. And a CDC advisory panel tonight now studying possible booster shots and who might need them first. Whit Johnson standing by. Also tonight, major concerns about the virus on the eve of the opening ceremony for the Olympics in Tokyo. The new number tonight, more than 90 people inside the Olympic bubble now infected with the virus. Simone Biles and the U.S. gymnastics teams arriving for practice in masks. And James Longman again tonight from Tokyo. Also at this hour, the alarming images coming in fighting multiple wildfires on the ground and in the air. Tonight, you will see the firefighters and what they're doing with nearly 80 fires burning in 13 states. The view as firefighters drive through the Tamarack fire in California. The newly released audio tonight from an interview with former President Donald Trump, describing the crowd on January 6th, saying it was a loving crowd. And tonight, Speaker Nancy Pelosi explaining why she rejected two Republicans for that select committee to investigate the January 6th attack, and the Republicans she's now considering. There is late word tonight from the Pentagon involving U.S. forces in Iraq. With the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan nearly complete, could there be a change coming for the mission in Iraq? Martha Raddatz with late reporting tonight. Chicago police responding to three mass shootings in 6 hours. Attorney General Merrick Garland just hours later in Chicago, launching a new federal strike force to tackle America's rise in gun violence. Pierre Thomas tonight teaming up with our ABC stations across the country. What's driving this rise in violence? And the images coming in at this hour, the video wall collapsing at Hard Rock Stadium outside Miami, rattling South Florida again, just ahead of a music festival. And America strong tonight, the U.S. Navy and the honor long overdue, and the American workers making it happen.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a very busy Thursday night. And we begin tonight with the coronavirus and this new summer surge, fueled, of course, by the highly contagious Delta variant. Tonight, those words from the CDC director, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, calling this a pivotal moment in the pandemic. Cases soaring among the unvaccinated, and now the breakthrough cases among the vaccinated in this country. Authorities have said that's to be expected, and that the vast majority of these breakthrough cases have been mild. They say it shows the vaccines are working. But tonight, authorities acknowledge the numbers are concerning. Cases up more than 10% in 46 states, nearly all of the country now. We're now averaging about 37,000 new cases a day for the last week. Three states particularly hard hit, Florida, Texas, and Missouri. In fact, one in five of all cases right now in Florida alone. Tonight, a CDC advisory panel is now meeting on vaccine booster shots, a potential third shot, hearing evidence on whether it might be helpful for people whose immune systems are compromised. So far, saying more data is needed. That panel also looking into the Johnson & Johnson one-shot vaccine and those very rare cases of a nerve condition we have reported on here, still saying the benefits of that vaccine far outweigh the risks. And of course, the debate over masks in this country and whether guidance could change. The debate over whether children under 12 who aren't yet eligible for vaccines going back to school, whether they should be wearing masks. Our Rachel Scott asking President Biden late today about whether the guidance will change and what the president said a short time ago. We have it all covered for you tonight, and ABC's Whit Johnson leading us off.
Tonight, the Delta variant fueling a new summer surge. Nearly half of all counties across the country now reporting high or substantial community transmission. Los Angeles County seeing a 20-fold spike in cases over the last month.
Whether you are vaccinated or not, please know we together are not out of the woods yet. We are yet at another pivotal moment in this pandemic.
A CDC advisory panel suggesting a booster shot could help protect Americans with compromised immune systems, but saying more data is needed. And today, Dr. Fauci was asked specifically about booster shots for people who got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
There is no reason to believe right now that people who have taken the J&J vaccine are in need of a booster dose of any sort.
The CDC panel also looking at a possible link between the J&J vaccine and a rare autoimmune disorder called Guillain-Barré. Out of roughly 13 million doses of J&J administered, there have been just 100 reported cases of the disorder. 95 were serious, including one death. Still, the panel expressing strong support for continued use of the vaccine.
There is no vaccine that we have today that doesn't have some very small risk of an adverse outcome. But every vaccine we have today that has been approved has had major, major benefits.
In Florida, 41-year-old James Scott Owen is battling COVID in the hospital and wishes he had gotten the vaccine.
It can happen to any of us. I'm usually the big, strong guy and everything. Well, I thought I was. This virus doesn't care who you are. It will jump on you quickly.
New cases in Florida spiking 490% in the last month. But today the governor insisting there will be no mask mandate in schools.
We're not doing that in Florida, okay? We need our kids to breathe. We need our kids to be able to be kids.
The White House today saying that puts the millions of school children under 12 who are unvaccinated at risk.
If I were a parent in Florida, that would be greatly concerning to me. Because kids under the age of 12 are not vaccinated. They're not eligible yet.
In upstate New York, an outbreak at a sleepaway camp infected 31 campers between 7 and 11 years old who are too young to get the vaccine. Late today, our Rachel Scott asking the president about what conversations he's had with health officials about changing the mask guidance for vaccinated Americans.
We follow the science. The doers are going and investigating every aspect of any change that could or might take place.
And today, the NFL putting pressure on players to get vaccinated, warning outbreaks among unvaccinated players could lead to forfeited games and players not getting paid. The NFL commissioner saying more than 75% of the league's players are at least partially vaccinated.
News from the NFL tonight there. Whit Johnson with us live. And Whit, you mentioned there LA County, for one, seeing a dramatic spike in cases. Of course, so many other cities and communities seeing this too. And tonight, news that authorities in Houston and in Philadelphia are revisiting, discussing once again mask recommendations.
David, it's happening in more American cities. In Houston, officials say they're seeing uncontrolled spread, and they're now urging everyone to wear masks. And in Philadelphia, officials are reporting a small but disturbing increase in hospitalizations among children. Officials there also recommending masks indoors in public spaces, regardless of vaccination status. David.
All right, Whit Johnson leading us off again tonight. Whit, thank you. And also tonight, major concerns about the virus on the eve of the opening ceremony for the Olympics in Tokyo. The new number tonight, more than 90 people inside the bubble now infected with the virus. And what will be different about that opening ceremony? James Longman again tonight from Tokyo.
Tonight, with the opening ceremony a day away, our first glimpse of some of the stars of these extraordinary games. Masks on for the women's gymnastics team arriving for practice. And for a brief moment, COVID forgotten as Simone Biles defies gravity in her much-anticipated all-round routine. But with concerns about COVID, USA Gymnastics confirming to ABC News that they have moved out of the Olympic Village and into a hotel. At least 91 people are now positive inside the Olympic bubble, 10 of them athletes. Across Tokyo, the numbers rising, once again reaching a six-month high with nearly 2,000 new cases a day. And First Lady Jill Biden has arrived in Tokyo for her first solo international trip. One of just 950 dignitaries and officials at the 68,000-seat stadium to watch the opening ceremony.
And James Longman live from Tokyo tonight. James, this opening ceremony in the midst of a pandemic, what differences will we see?
Well, David, we know of the 950 guests, only about 150 or so will be Japanese, everyone wearing masks. And we know technology will be used to try to replicate a normal experience, but this will very much be a made-for-TV event. David?
You'll be right there for us. James Longman again tonight. Thank you, James. And back here at home this evening, we are monitoring the exploding wildfires and the alarming images coming in. Firefighters battling multiple fires on the ground and in the air. Tonight, right here, you will see firefighters a firsthand view of what they're facing on the front lines with nearly 80 fires now burning in 13 states. ABC's Kaylee Hartung in California tonight.
Tonight, new video shows the conditions from inside the truck as firefighters work to save a housing development from the Tamarack Fire. That fire now burning over 68 square miles in Mono County, California, and along the Nevada border. It's just one of at least 79 large wildfires tearing through the drought-stricken West. The Dixie Fire reaching mega fire status, burning over 103,000 acres, and it's just 17% contained. And the Bootleg Fire in Oregon, now nearly 400,000 acres, the largest in the country and one of the largest in Oregon's history, expected to burn until at least November.
And David, fueling these fires are record-breaking heat waves and a mega drought. And next week, another heat wave is set to bake much of the country, pushing some temperatures up to 15 degrees above normal. Get ready, David.
Yet another heat wave. All right, Kaylee, thank you. We're going to turn next tonight to the newly released audio from an interview with former President Donald Trump. The former president describing the crowd in the nation's capital on January 6th, saying it was a loving crowd. And tonight, Speaker Nancy Pelosi explaining why she rejected two Republicans on that select committee set to investigate what led to the January 6th attack. Rachel Scott on the Hill again tonight.
Tonight, as the House battles over a commission to investigate the riot at the Capitol, we are hearing new audio of former President Donald Trump describing the mob as a loving crowd.
And it was a loving crowd, too, by the way. There was a lot of love. I've heard that from everybody. Many, many people have told me that was a loving crowd.
The audio from a March interview with Washington Post reporters Phil Rucker and Carol Lenning. Despite these pictures the whole world has seen, Capitol Hill police officers crushed by the violent crowd of Trump supporters. The former president describing the scene like this.
They were ushered in by the police. I mean, in all fairness, the Capitol Police were ushering people in. The Capitol Police were very friendly. You know, they were hugging the kids. You don't see that.
President Biden says everyone knows what happened that day.
Democrats and Republicans, I don't care if you think I'm Satan reincarnated. The fact is, you can't look at that television and say nothing happened on the 6th. You can't listen to people who say this was a peaceful march.
It comes as House Speaker Nancy Pelosi defends her unprecedented decision to block two Republican congressmen from serving on the committee investigating the riot.
These people are going to act up, cause a problem. And people said to me, put them on, and then when they act up, you can take them off. I said, why should we waste time on something as predictable? When statements are ridiculous and fall into the realm of you must be kidding, there's no way that they're going to be on the committee.
One of the congressmen, Jim Banks, said the committee should investigate the Biden administration's response to the riot, even though Biden wasn't even president at the time. The other congressman, Jim Jordan, could be called as a material witness, according to Liz Cheney, the only Republican who has agreed to serve on the committee.
I agree with what the speaker has done.
And also,
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has suggested that she could add other Republicans to that committee, including Congressman Adam Kinzinger. He also voted to impeach former President Donald Trump. The committee will hold its first hearing on Tuesday. Their first witnesses, four officers who defended the Capitol that day, David.
And we'll be covering it right here with you, Rachel. Thank you. There is late word tonight from the Pentagon involving U.S. forces in Iraq. With the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan nearly complete now, could there be a change coming for the mission in Iraq? Let's get right to our chief global affairs correspondent, Martha Raddatz. And Martha, what are you learning tonight?
David, U.S. combat troops in Iraq will soon transition to primarily a non-combat role, more training, although that is largely what those 2,500 U.S. troops do now. A U.S. official tells me the overall numbers will not likely be reduced and that U.S. forces will continue to provide air power and, of course, David, reserve the right to defend themselves. David?
Right. Martha Raddatz with us again tonight. Martha, thank you. The Biden administration imposing sanctions on Cuba tonight after Cuba's violent crackdown on protests that swept across the island. The U.S. Treasury Department imposing sanctions on Cuba's Minister of Defense and the Interior Ministry Special Brigades. We turn next tonight to Chicago, where police had to respond to three mass shootings in just 6 hours. And then just hours later, Attorney General Merrick Garland arriving in Chicago today, launching a new federal strike force to tackle America's rise in gun violence. Tonight here, our Chief Justice correspondent, Pierre Thomas, teaming up with our ABC stations across the country to investigate what's driving this rise in violence.
Tonight, the Attorney General landing in Chicago on a federal mission just hours after that city saw at least three mass shootings overnight, wounding at least 17 and killing a 14-year-old.
It's not an exaggeration to say we are in a battle for the heart and soul of some of these communities.
Merrick Garland sending teams of prosecutors and federal agents to five major cities that have seen a rise in violent crime, among them Chicago.
This strikes not only at the communities we serve, but at our own community of law enforcement.
Gun violence surging across the country. ABC News, along with its own stations, affiliates, and the Gun Violence Archive, attempts to document every shooting this week. So far, at least 787 shootings occurring since Saturday morning. We went to Philadelphia, where more than 1,200 have been wounded or killed by guns this year, riding with the police. By early afternoon, there had been a triple shooting, killing two and wounding a 16-year-old. Later that night, we hear reports of multiple shots fired.
Yeah, this is the famous cheesesteaks, Pat's and Gino's. This is where the shooting just happened.
That's a shell casing right on the ground right there. See where the white circle's drawn around it.
Moments later, we get the horrible news.
So he was the shot casing.
The person here died.
The commissioner telling me today the victim died over an argument about a parking space.
David, the police commissioners of the NYPD in Philadelphia told me in exclusive interviews this week that the spike in part has been fueled by a small number of repeat offenders, primarily gang members and drug dealers, terrorizing neighborhoods. They also said that the courts being shut down because of COVID-19, leaving offenders normally incarcerated on the streets, is a problem. And they spoke of the proliferation of weapons, meaning anyone who is angry, unstable, or just plain criminal has a gun, David.
Really important reporting, Pierre. Thank you. And of course, Pierre is leading this week-long ABC News investigation with our stations across the country. One Nation Under Fire across all of ABC News, Good Morning America, Nightline, This Week with George Stephanopoulos, this Sunday. When we come back tonight, the major internet outage across the U.S. today affecting businesses from Amazon to several of the airlines and affecting passengers, too. So what was behind it?
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Tonight, a massive internet outage briefly taking down major websites across the country today, including several airlines. The problem affecting many businesses from Amazon to Home Depot, FedEx and UPS also hit Southwest Airlines and Delta Airlines. Some Delta customers unable to check in online for a time today. Akamai, a key internet provider, investigating the service disruptions, but so far saying it was not a cyber attack. To the index of other news and the images coming in tonight, a giant video wall collapsing at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami Gardens late today. The stadium about to host a three-day music festival starting tomorrow. So far tonight, no word of any injuries or the cause. Finally tonight, the World War II hero who broke barriers honored America Strong. Tonight, an American honor for a World War II hero. 80 years ago this year, Doris Miller from Waco, Texas, aboard the USS West Virginia in Pearl Harbor, a ship's cook third class, when the Japanese attacked.
The Japanese have attacked the Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, from the air.
Miller running above deck, no training, firing a machine gun, shooting down fighter planes. He would carry injured shipmates off the sinking ship, saving their lives.
Admiral Minutes decorates Navy hero.
The first black man in U.S. history to receive the Navy Cross for valor. Miller's heroism broke barriers, allowing black sailors to advance in the Navy. And eight decades later, the new honor. The U.S. Navy naming their new aircraft carrier after Doris Miller. And in Newport News, Virginia tonight, the team at Huntington Ingalls Industries hard at work at Newport News Shipbuilding.
Hi, David.
Darnell Prigmore, proud to be building this ship.
He manned the gun in order to save his fellow crewmates. You can't ask for much more sacrifice than that.
Neil Hawley telling us it's an honor.
I'm proud to be working on the Doris Miller.
5,000 shipbuilders, up to 65,000 tons of steel from Pennsylvania, Indiana, and North Carolina.
Hi, David.
Welding foreman Jessica Rosser.
My original connection with Doris Miller was the fact that he was someone that looked like me.
And tonight here, Doris Miller's family.
Hi, David.
Thomas and Emerus Bledsoe, his great-nephew and great-great-nephew.
The naming of the new aircraft carrier after our great-uncle, Doris Miller, means a lot to our family and to his legacy.
Selena Miller James, his great-niece.
To have the USS Carrier named after him, our family is just absolutely speechless.
The USS Doris Miller, and we salute him. Thank you for watching, and we're cheering on Robin Roberts on Jeopardy! A couple more nights. Good night.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.